Blog Talk Radio.
Lovely. And we have Mr. Deschino's offspring to thank for that contribution. Dan, please thank your son for letting us use his music at the beginning of our show.
Absolutely. Thank you, Danny. I don't know if he's listening. He actually just posted a brand new one, so I think he's at college now. He's too busy doing college things I don't want to know about to be listening to us tonight, I think.
Like
but he exactly, but he might listen to it later. Yes, that's very proud to say my son's original composition, which I thought would be really cool for two reasons: have an original composition for the opening show and show off my kid a little
absolutely.
Bit. He's actually a pretty darn good composer, I will say. So,
thank you,
Danny, if you're listening.
I would be in violent agreement with him. I think we ought to do this more often. If he's got a repertoire, please trot it out and let's listen to it. I think that was marvelous.
Yeah,
so thank you, Danny Chino, for sharing your music with us. And thank you to our audience for joining us again this evening on Exploring at Crasis, one of the many shows that Late Night Poets hosts. And there are a lot of really outstanding programs out there with absolutely stellar hosts hosting marvelous poetry. And since we have marvelous poetry tonight, let's get started.
Absolutely. Let's just see if I know I've I might get fired tonight, or at least not get paid. I know I don't get paid anytime because I screwed up some SoundClouds tonight. So Pam right now is busy. I think she's fixing them. I don't know if she's trying to save me and put a couple of SoundClouds on. I don't know if she's here to say hi or not.
You will be punished, Dan.
I will be, Triz. Yes, very severely. So, Pam, if you are there, say hi. If not, I know you're busy trying to save my butt.
Well, I'm sure if anybody can resolve any kind of technical problems we have, it's Dan. Or, I mean, it's Pam. Bless her heart.
All right, great. And if Pam can't talk anyway, I think we might have somebody on hold ready to come in as well, too. I think we might actually have a guest right away.
Yeehaw. Devin Hubble.
Hi, who has joined?
Hello, it's Sucker for the Treadmill.
Hey, Sucker, how are you?
I'm doing great, man.
The bet is your
so glad you joined. Absolutely. So glad you joined us tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I'm happy to be here, guys. It's a pleasure.
And it's nice to have a new voice aboard. It really is.
Absolutely. Well, yes, we do have a lot of great poetry to go on. I'm very excited about tonight, so we will absolutely get started. And Sucker, as the new person and welcome guest, what we like to do is put you right to work. So
I'm going to try my fire here, if you don't mind.
Is Kennedy
in the late night forward?
Putting it right now, I just posted one by Pee Wee Cousins called Prisoner of Mind. Yeah, if you could give that a read, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, Prisoner of Mind by Pee Wee Cousins. See the walls come closing in, where my hat that bears the sin, take the old stereoscope, tie them up with a piece of rope. Look to me, these starry eyes, that gives such a good disguise, hiding all the pain you'll know in my eyes with nowhere to go. Batten down the hatches that sail. Welcome to my brain, the jail. Behind my bars, each second-hand cloth used to cover up this noxious cough. Time is short, so they tell me. I will watch the others scream. Nothing greater in life, it seems. Than to watch a young girl bleed. Take my mind and stomp it down. I'll leave your pieces in the ground. Take my time so I can truly say each cut becomes the perfect slay. Bye to all you love and say hello to heavens above. For you lost all in finding me. I live only for tortured dreams of all that is right now. And all you'll not think about, only agony you will find in the prison of my mind. Spin poem.
I was mutating there. Excellent read, my friend. Very good. And this is really interesting. I actually had a good conversation with Pee Wee the other day. Him and I were chatting back and forth. He's a great guy. He seems like a really nice guy. But he really went to a dark place here. A couple of things. This is from a previous prompt from the last contest, which was had some very interesting pictures, and he went to a couple of places. It seems like he kind of went to a almost a serial killer place where, you know, he's kind of thinking of, you know, these violent acts or whatever it is that they're just prisoners. They can't help themselves. You know, I remember hearing an interview with Ted Bundy where he was like, basically almost saying that he couldn't help himself. You know, he was a monster. He knew it. And he was like trapped as this monster. And I also like the idea of a prisoner of your mind. I've thought many times about, you know, how the separating basically yourself from your own mind, which is a really interesting concept, you know, because you are kind of a prisoner of whatever is in your mind, whatever's happened in your life, all the stresses, all the thoughts, everything, you're stuck there. You're stuck with that. You know, you can't really change that. So it's a really interesting concept and a great poem by Pee Wee. Great job, Pee Wee. Bobby, what do you think?
I was looking at the prompt, which is it's the one with several women in portraits. Draped here and there. And he really I would not have expected this. Was a very unexpected prompt response, but fascinating. I really think it's intriguing where his imagination took this particular prompt. And I could see quite clearly how he could interpret it that way. And he did it with style. He went down a dark path, but he did it very artfully. So my comment on being creatively moribund and delightfully dark.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was great. Pee-wee's actually on the board. Hey, Pee-wee, thanks for joining. He actually just joined and got to hear his poem, I guess. And Sucker, you got to read it. What do you think?
I like this poem. It reflects to me, at least like my current scenario, the situation where you're sort of trying to grab a beat on poetry or the thought behind the poetry. And then all of the, like if you ever have ridden the late night bus, like the 3 a.m. bus, there's been like homeless people in wheelchairs sleeping on there. Like this poem touches on that. And I really like it. Like, at hiding all the pain, you'll know in my eyes, I know where to go. Like, really resonates with me. It's a question I've been asking myself lately, writing late nights in LA. But it also, I mean, we're also talking about ecophastic poetry, like a really vivid description of like the scenario, you know. So I think this poem is perfect. It's like the perfect attachment to this prompt. It's really good.
Excellent.
Yeah, thank you for the great comment.
Great comment. Yeah, no, it's I'm always very interested, and it's one of the great things about these contests that Bobby gets the credit. She comes up with the paintings and just watching how people interpret it. It's amazing, you know, and just so fascinating to see the different interpretations. We got another one by Pee-wee coming up later on, but for now, let's continue on. We got a couple more from our last contest, and Bobby, you get to go next here. Ladies first, of course. This one's called No Words by Jacquemus.
Rest of the Alexander Sviridov prompts. Okay,
absolutely.
So we have... Yep, yeah, okay. Lost myself here. Oh, here I am. Okay. And moving right along. No words. Is it only me, the horrors that I see? Free outside the box, while other minds bear locks. As countless children cry, it's only art, they sigh. In faux and artful play, their spirits cooked away. End poem.
Great read. It's always interesting. I found this picture really fascinating, and there's so many ways you can go with this. You know, just thinking of yourself kind of inside this, you know, inside this box, like this person is kind of trapped in here. And I thought it was really great, powerful brevity. Fantastic job. Sucker, what are your thoughts?
I was wondering how you would tie that last sentiment to the, the five melons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, whoever's talking, could you mute, please?
No, absolutely, absolutely, Sucker. Yeah, it's a really, really interesting picture. Bobby, what do you think?
When I posted this picture, I looked at it in several different ways. It is slightly Freudian, to me anyway. It's interesting the captivity theme of it, and the fact that you've got living things being held hostage and just the way they've got her positioned, as opposed to the way the melons, the cross section of the melons, it's very interesting. I mean, from an artistic point of view, there's different aspects to it, but to write to it, I thought it was going to be a singular challenge, and I think this brevity actually is a great response to the prompt.
Yeah, absolutely.
The melons are sort of vegetable, but then they have the pre-slice, edible bits out. Oh. And then the woman in the picture is turned sideways, which I find really interesting.
It is an interesting piece. The first thing you come to is a woman, trapped by her womanhood almost, is kind of what you say, but you can really go a lot of different places, and our poets mm-hmm. actually did fantastic. So, yeah, great comments, absolutely. All right, let's crank on here.
Thank you.
Where are we? So I am going to read the next one, and I'm going to post it here. Just in 1 second. All right, this one is by Fabrice D. And for those of you following along, it's prompt 29 from the old contest called Enchantments Every Dawn Is Full Of. As a zephyr rises at the banks of the plain that comes and beat the flow of silvery mornings, open to the skyline of my distant dreams, a wing of perfumes delivers me your breath. And the enchantments every dawn is full of, all merging in you onto uncertain skies. Your beauty sparkles on the extinguished stars, like on the Trojan stake of Helen the ghost. O goddess, appear under your winning feet. Will be thrilling, still my revived heart ashes, same as the city for Venus consuming. Rejuvenated blood of my dead memory will crimson the road where sans remorse you flee. Oh, those who loved you, the useless tormenting. End poem. This is really a beautiful write. From what I remember of Fabrice, I'm going totally by memory, he uses a lot of mythology in his poems. Go ahead, Bobby.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm talking over you.
I was just going to say I really like, I'll let you guys comment obviously as well too, but what I really like about it is just the composition of it. That's one of the things I love about poetry is just, it doesn't have to be grammatically correct. It's not, you don't have to have these sentence structures and all this. It's just about using words to express yourself however you want to do it. To me, you can certainly have rules and styles, but there doesn't have to be. And the enchantments every dawn is full of, all emerging into you. So I love how he leaves that line open, and it's not full of, and he's not then saying a noun after that. He's now just kind of talking about full ideas, which I just think is absolutely beautiful. Rejuvenated blood of my dead memory will crimson the road where sans remorse you flee. It's such an amazing line. It could be a very violent and defeating line, but I take it as very positive, where you're rejuvenating, blood. We always think of blood as violent and deadly, but blood is what keeps us alive. The blood of ourselves is our life. It's our life's blood, and he's rejuvenating this from his dead memory and crimson the road where he's where he walks again. So even though it is, those who love you use this tormenting, he's still coming alive again. So I thought this was just really beautifully written, just amazing word use, and just a work of art in itself. So great job, Fabrice. I'm going to go to you, Sucker.
This poem, I think, because of the mythology, is a little over my head. But I did resonate with you very much with the
rejuvenated blood of their dead memories.
It's really interesting in the last stanza on the second line, but will crimson the road where sands remorselessly. It's sort of a release, a freeing, or like an understanding of the I don't know how to say it. It's like when you say what you mean, but you do not care what the underachievers or the people who are not really in it understand.
Sure, sure. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I agree. I enjoy these ones that make me make me go to Wikipedia or Google. So I have to learn things. I have to go kind of look up some of the lines now, and I always try to learn stuff. But yeah, his style is just fantastic. Bobby, what do you think? Bobby, did we lose you?
Yes, and I was being brilliant too. Damn it! I enjoy Fabrice's work. He writes with a great deal of romance and passion, and he does tend to lean toward mythology. And in that light, when I was reading this, it almost reminded me when he talks about his second to last stanza, "Oh goddess, appear under your winning feet, it'll be the thrill of my reverbed heart's ashes." It almost reminded me of Pygmalion and Galatea, and how the sculptor falls in love with his own work. And looking at the prompt, it was the same prompt that Arcane won the gold to, the beautiful image of the woman nude from the back walking toward sunrise over what looks like a sea of bodies. I could see this is a beautiful response to the prompt. Very romantic, very sensual, very colorful. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, some really great. I was just as a side note, I was on. I was lucky enough to be on the Center Saint show last night. It was the first time I was ever on that show, and I was commenting about how, you know, I'm humbled and inspired almost every time I read poetry on the site, because some of the poets are just so amazing, and just some of the best poetry I've ever read in my entire life. You know, I think that the quote unquote classic poetry doesn't have anything on some of the poetry that's on this website. So it's there's some great stuff here. All right, we got one more from the old contest, and then we'll kind of crank on to the new, out with the old and with the new. And I can get you to read this last one, sucker, if you don't mind, by W.P. McLeod, called The Riddle.
Give me just a second to pull it up.
Take your time. Time we got.
I've got it. The Riddle by W.P. McLeod, one. The public sphere rolled into a private living room like a leaky banister egg. A cactus shell that lay on the carpet, oozing streams of yellow blood. The household bleached with hydrogen peroxide when the egg cracked apart. A miniature pterodactyl waddled out in search of food after many days. The animal fiber in the rug turned a pale blonde. Dad ruffled his white collar and flattened his black cassock. The baby in a high chair giggled when tickled with a feather duster hiding in the closet. Grandma's empty rocking chair moved back and forth like a playground swing hanging from chains when the wind blew.
The next child built a cabin out of cardboard boxes in the front yard where he lived until the neighbors called the police. Both parents rushed home too late to solve the riddle, which is true. The blooming pine cone on a fir tree or the shattered globe covered with sewing needles and porcupine quills. When FedEx delivered Dad in a shipping box with a Rubik's head begging to be solved, we canceled our subscription to Boy's Life and put an ice cube in his hands to wear as a friendship ring on his pillbox hat.
Great read there. And W.P. McLeod really went for it on this one. So those just listening audio, it's a picture of a man that has a Rubik's cube type face, all kind of messed up in a puzzle. And he's doing a Rubik's cube like puzzle, and I enjoyed this one. I thought it was fun. It had I think he went for it, meaning like he tried to be as obscure and puzzle-like. Like basically, you're reading his poem, saying, "What is going on here?" And I think that's the whole purpose of that. I think what he's trying to do is just show the absurdity in the puzzle life and the craziness of life that can happen, all the different things that can go on, and how life is just a puzzle in itself. And I thought he did a very interesting job doing that. That's what I got out of this, and I thought he kind of, like I said, went for it and just went almost in a dreamlike, like acid trip state to just show how everything is craziness, and can you actually solve this crazy puzzle? I'm going to have to play with this one, I think, on my own, because if I know W.P. McLeod, I've read his other stuff. There probably is a puzzle within the actual poem, which is going to take a little while probably to figure out. So I will read that later. But what do you think? What do you think, Bobby?
I think this is a head-on collision between Lewis Carroll and Led Zeppelin.
There you go.
This is a Jabberwocky without the nonsense words. I have to admire, though. I mean, my thinking is far too orderly to delve into this stream of unconsciousness that he's got here. But it's such fun. It's like just reaching into the box and coloring with whatever crayon comes out. I've never been able to do that. And I admire people who can free their thinking in this way. I mean, because seriously, it is. But it's when I was reading, I was thinking, this is the Jabberwocky with liberal sprinklings of Led Zeppelin and, Steppenwolf.
Absolutely. Yeah, again, I'm going to have to try to figure out the puzzle. And Led Zeppelin has written a lot of songs with Tolkien lyrics in mind. Now I'm sitting, have to picture him with Lewis Carroll. That would be pretty fun. So, Led Zeppelin singing like White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane. There you go.
That was Gracie Slick.
Exactly.
One of my favorites too.
It's a great one. You got to read it, sucker. What'd you think?
Take it as like, how do you say it? Like a loose contradiction of the like political rhetoric and like your daily life. From the first line, there's only one stanza.
Great observation. That's a great observation.
It's like it's like a trippy twisting of all that. I think it's really cool. It's talking about like the birth of somebody who can think through a poem like this, who can like look at the political rhetoric, look at moral and political psychology, look at the architecture of society, and then sort of like grow through it or with it.
Interesting, very interesting. I'll keep that in mind. Like I said, I'm definitely going to play. I love puzzles, so I'm going to see if I can figure it out. Maybe you didn't make it a puzzle, and I'll be sitting here forever trying to figure it out, but I'm still going to try to figure it out. So great comment. Thank you very much. All right, so now we can Yes. Go ahead, Bobby.
No, I was going to say, we have polished off all the work from the last contest, and I'm desperately trying to look. Oh, here we go. Alexander Zveritov. So thank you, Alexander. We'll put him away, and now we can turn to the haunting hyperrealism of István Sándorfi. And believe me, folks, for those of you out there thinking, she's just looking for artists with really screwed up names. I swear to God, it just happens. It's not deliberate. It's not intentional. It just happens.
Yeah, see, the thing is, you said that before, so now the more times you say it, the more I don't believe you. I think you are perfectly legal. It's like the criminal that keeps saying, I'm not guilty. I swear, I'm not guilty. This is why I'm not guilty. But no.
I think we have new listeners this time, so I think it just bears repeating. But next time we have someone very reasonable. We have Caitlin. Let's see, where is she? Here we go. Catherine Welch-Stein. So no one should have any problems with that. Anyway, let's Mr. István, his work is quite different from the previous author or previous artist, in that he does a lot of combinations of images, and his are paintings also, and digital photography, but he's got a lot of vintage images overlaid with contemporary images. He seems to go the gamut from beauty to the macabre. So there's a lot to work on in here, and he does tend to feature artifacts from his studio, like his easel and his palette and things of that nature. So
the hyper-realism part of it too is always whenever somebody can draw like this, can paint, and it really does. You have to take a second glance. Is this a photo? You know, that's why they call it hyper-realism, right? It's pretty amazing what he can do.
Some of the imagery in here is very startling, and some of it is just so beautiful that you doubt its realism. So on that note, and you've got the fragments of things, disembodied hands and things of that nature. So there's a lot to work with in here, and let's see what our entry stick with it. So let's kick it off.
Absolutely. So we have, we're actually going to start with prompt number one. I'm going to let you read this, Bobby. This is by Air Mundell. Stained palette.
Okay.
I'm going to post this right now.
Here. Yeah. Yeah. I was chatting back and forth with him earlier today, and he's already got a submission to our next contest. He was so psyched about those images. I think he went crazy and used all of them. So, okay, we have A.R. Mundell's stained palette. She wears a blank canvas, holding a palette free of colors, save the red stains of her ancestors who died to dye that canvas white and wipe the palette free of color scheme by which to live her life. They, who lived by painted cloth, painted lives, and painted skin with small easel windows to view the world and paints provided by another's hand, an outline already sketched or guiding voice, or whitewashed denial of their progress if they ever held the brush at all. Those women whose lives slowly, slowly changed perceptions, trickling river of passing time, crowbarring opportunities, scrubbing color after color from that restrictive palette, scrubbing the canvas back to a choice for her, by her, and home.
Awesome read. That was a great read. Yeah, it's really interesting. And the prompt number one is black and white of this woman, and the woman is kind of going through different emotions on her face and then kind of turns into the color with a palette on her. And I think he did a great job with this, just really just going into the emotion and the feeling of this woman. So fantastic job. Sucker, what do you think?
I agree.
This poem reminds me a lot of like the struggle for intelligence and resistance as a human in the world, which must be that much more greater for women.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very...
like a growth of intelligence and a denial of the things you understand. Like, people are always telling you that what you think is not true. And I think this poem hits on that really well.
And it's got, in the background, it's got, like, different incarnations of womanhood in the past. And what they're...
Yeah.
It's like they were carrying... the humanity's expectations of them with them, and it's like she with the palette and her simple just draped cloth is trying to break away from that.
Yeah, I really appreciate that viewpoint. It's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Good observation.
All right, cool. Let's move on here.
I'm going to
give this. What's that? I didn't? Sure, I did a little bit. Didn't I say something at the beginning? All right, I'll say more then.
Maybe I missed it.
So I just think he really took a trip through this person's mind. Now, she was a blank canvas holding a palette free of colors. He's going through all the little pictures and kind of bringing that person out. So I thought he really got into the mind, which is always really interesting when instead of just the picture itself and the colors, the poet gets into the mind of the person in the painting. I thought he did a fantastic job with that. I thought it was really good. Great job, AR, as always.
He or she,
I'm sorry, I think it is an aunt. I think it's Anne, so I think I was calling he, and I think it's a she.
Nowadays, it doesn't matter.
My fault on that.
As long as you know the difference, it doesn't matter.
That's true. I actually am good.
Well,
yes, my pronoun is us for anybody that wants to write to me.
Okay. What have we got next?
Let's go to the next one here. This one is called Bittersweet Love. 9322, number 4164, is by Betty Page, and I'm going to give it a read here. I'm going to post it right now. Bittersweet Love. Weeping bittersweet tears, hair cascading over face, privately I cry. Knew I should not go, how life's taunting me right now, curled up in a ball, laying on my bed, locked all the doors around me, watching tears descend. Puddles on the floor, delicately I breathe, and whimpering faintly. Crying in silence, no one needs to know my pain, must keep this secret. Feel so very lost, stumbling, I'm barely walking, awaiting my death. Pressure on my chest as if caved in completely, sorrow looms within. Those nights haunting me, ghosts linger, strangling me till I fade helpless. Panicked I awake, filled with shame, suicidal, not again. Again. Hope turns to despair. Screeching sounds of broken glass shatters around me. Sharp pieces splinter, rain cascades from my windows. Slow motion heartbreak. Now I'm just silent. Fetal position so bent, breaking into pieces. End poem. So this is, you know, somebody in a horrible pain, and as a true poet can do, she really, I think, expressed it very well. And the picture for those, again, doing just audio, is of a woman kind of bent over with part of the picture is actually almost melted. And I think you can take this lots of different ways, but I think taking this as somebody just doubled over in emotional pain is really beautifully but hauntingly done. So great job, Betty. Bobby, I'm going to start with you.
Look, this is Blake Pump 29, and it is a beautiful image, and what she's done with this. This is a real departure for Betty, and I think a very successful one. She usually writes very beautifully sensual pieces, but here she is. She has delved into the negative emotions here and has done it with such style. And I think, save for the first line on the first stanza, she's got a Senryu chain going here, which is not easy. And she's told the story through this Senryu chain with the structure and the stricture of that particular style, with a great deal of texture and emotion. Panicked, I awake, filled with shame, suicidal, not again. Hope turns to despair, screeching sounds of broken glass shatters around me. I mean, this is a very raw write, very visceral, and the fact that she has done it in such a compact style just speaks volumes of Betty's talent. This is a great piece.
Absolutely, absolutely. I really liked it a lot. I like Betty. She's a great poet. Sucker, what are your thoughts?
I agree. I think it's a really compact and concise analysis of that feeling when you're in tragedy or in pain or when you're lost in the world, and just watching your physical being go by and nobody really understands or nobody is willing or able to grasp that. I think it's a really beautiful analysis of that scenario.
Absolutely. You know, again, another great emotional, really getting into the emotion of the character in the painting. All right, we are going to move on here. I am going to post one in a minute, but I believe we have a brand new guest star. Who do we have on the line?
Trot him out. Get him out of the green room.
Yes. Who is here?
Hi.
Hey, Naomi.
Hello.
How are you?
Pretty good. Surviving life.
Excellent, excellent. So good to see you. I think this is the first time on our show. I'm so happy to have you on here. I love it when you're on the show.
Yeah. Third time I wrote, but you guess. Yeah, I guess it's the first time I've been on, so yeah, I've been quite busy these past months, so coming back slowly.
Absolutely,
glad
absolutely.
You came back. I hear today. That's great. Good to hear your voice.
Absolutely.
Why don't we put her to work right away.
I would do that, but we have Eric Svensson, who has a SoundCloud, so you're off the hook till the next week.
Oh, all right.
That's great. So if we can play Eric's SoundCloud, that would be great.
And Naomi could go in the background and mute and go, me, 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 me.
A new Pieta. Collapse, passion crumbles, tumbles down onto studio floor. Painter and muse fused in a new Pieta, reversal of roles as the muse surrenders, released from the posing cross of space and time. She, savant, rests in the arms of a savior. He saved her soul, immortalized her beauty. Now swaddling cloth wraps, maps out blue paint smears. Unbridled passion puddled sighs, blurred the lines between painter and muse, fused a creative birth canal process. Hyperrealism of modern day Pieta arrests attest to the crucifixion endured by the artist's subject. Reversal of roles as the creator surrenders to his subject, draws her in as a mother would a wounded child, defeated, depleted by creation's passion, he succors his sacrificial lamb. Final surrender composes a mystical, majestic tableau. End quote.
Excellent. Excellent read, Eric. How great is Eric's voice, huh? I could listen to him talk all day. Let's start with you, Naomi.
Yeah, well, like you said, I can listen to Eric, and his accent is just awesome. And you know, his new piece and his picture up. Finally, we see him. What a handsome man. new Pieta. Just the way he took the painting, you know, from, you know, usually the Pieta is, pictures of the Virgin Mary holding the dead body of Jesus Christ on her lap, you know, or, you know, a picture or a sculpture. But, a new Pieta, he's holding her, so I thought that was very clever, the way he took the picture and the art and the way he was inspired to write this. It shows a very artistic and creative mind that Eric Svensson has. And, just his master of the English language, of course, and, you know, amazing, amazing SoundCloud, too, as always. Just a great write throughout. Bravo.
Absolutely. Yeah, his word use is really, is mastering, right? He's really great with his word use. And, yes, he does have his picture up with flowers. Hey, real men like flowers. So there you go, Eric. Good job with that. I totally will go by that one. So he is a good-looking guy. But great, fantastic, mm-hmm. great poem and great comment. Thank you very much. Let's go with Sucker.
I think that's how all poem fed up and collapsed. Passion crumbles, the first line. It's like a reconsideration of poetry and art and thought.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it does. The poems so far tonight really do have an old time feel, like a. And I got that from listening to the art. Even though the art is modern, it just has this kind of older, ancient feel to it, and I agree. Bobby, what do you think?
Well, when I was I like to look at the entries as they come in, and when I saw the title of this, Pieta, I thought, well, wait, and I saw the prompt, I went, oh, man. This was a beautiful interpretation. I mean, just so inspired. I mean, and his first stanza, collapsed passion crumbles, tumbles down onto studio floor. And he's got great assonance in his work. Painter and muse fused in a new Pieta. Reversal of roles as the muse surrenders, released from the posing cross of space and time. So in the normal Pietas, the ones that you've seen by Michelangelo and such, and I think he did two Pietas, you've got the Virgin Mary cradling Christ, whereas in this image, you've got the man cradling the woman, which I thought was a very astute catch, spotted right away, and he plays off of that with such style. She Savant rests in the arms of her savior. He saved her soul, immortalized her beauty. Now swaddled cloth wraps, maps out blue paint smears. Just the whole thing, I mean, the way it starts and the way it carries through with that theme of the role reversal and the art being her salvation. I looked at this picture and it suggested something to me, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And when I read the title of Pietà, I went, there it is. It just, he grasped it, and he did such a great job with it. I mean, this is an outstanding piece, again, with the assonance in it and the storyline and what he has done with the imagery. And I'll stop now. Otherwise, I could keep going, as I really love this piece.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. All right, let's keep going. We got a whole bunch of poetry to go to. And I am going to put you to work now, Naomi, if you want to read this by Scott Sharp called Petulant Child.
Oh, it would be my honor to read something from Scott. Petulant Child. They came out of the shadows, the backstage of my mind, where the past floats in on the vibrations of all humanity. Everything alive at once, a photo from the 1800s, bleached by the shadows, running between paint and memory, washing out hope, solemn stares, empty, inquisitive glares, like a parent disappointed in a petulant child. End poem.
That was an awesome read, Naomi. Great job. And this is to prompts 1 and 40, which both have that kind of somebody off in the distance or almost like a ghost turning into a person type of a feel. It's a really interesting poem. Thanks, Scott. And Sucker, let's start with you.
This poem kind of I don't know exactly how to say it, but it strikes me personally as I'm trying to figure out what to write. There are all these notions of shadow or nature or birds or wildlife in general or evolution in general. And they all kind of float. In like a mechanical way, like a way that makes you want to just describe the process instead of describe the visual aid for the poetry. And this poem kind of touches on that, like that, in the sense like a photo from the 1800s, bleached by the shadows, running between paint and memory, like it's what I'm trying to sort of reconcile to make the meaning or the visualization or the expression, I guess, more beautiful. This sort of seems like a synthesis of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I always like it. I'm glad you got that personal touch. It's always fun or just, you know, interesting when that happens. Thank you. Great comment. And Naomi, you did a great job reading it. What did you think?
Yeah, well, I just went and saw the glance at both of the prompts there. And, you know, he captured the feeling of the paintings, the art, so well in this poem. I think, you know, they come out of the shadows, the backstage of my mind, where the past floats in on the vibrations of all humanity. A photo from the 1800s, bleached by the shadows, and then empty, inquisitive glares like a parent disappointed in a petulant child. You know, I think he grasped the whole feeling of those two prompts so, so perfectly. And, you know, I really, really enjoyed how he went with it. And this is, you know, it's just like, it's so authentic, this write. It just, as if he just sat down, he glanced at those prompts, and this came right out of his imagination. You know, it's so, so real, so sincere, so raw. And so, yeah, great, great write by Scott here.
I agree. Scott's the man. And Bobby, what do you think?
Well, I have to confess, I'm going to give away a trade secret. When I set up the contests, I try to situate the prompts in such a way that you don't have two that are too terribly similar sitting next to each other, and that there's enough variation between them that there isn't a conflict or a competition. And when I saw these two composite works that he did, I deliberately bookended the prompts with one at the beginning and one at the end. I do that deliberately to see if it does not catch someone's eye, which obviously Scott, in his erudition, spotted it right away. And I like the way he treated the composite of pieces, in that they do have a spectral quality to them. You have these shades of the past looming in the background, affecting what goes on in the future, and it's everything alive at once. A photo from the 1800s running between paint and memory, and it does. It seems like it's the past bleeding into the future, and I really like the way he rendered his interpretation of these two prompts. So well done, Scott. Thank you.
Absolutely, yeah. He obviously looked at all the prompts and picked out the two. There you go. All right, cool. We're going to go ahead.
Can you say that this one is particularly beautiful? It's really good.
Yeah, it really is. If you don't know Scott, he's got a very great style to him. So definitely check out more of his stuff. Absolutely, I agree. All right, let's crank on. Go ahead.
Before we go into the next one, I noticed we're almost halfway through already, and I didn't realize the time was fleeing us so quickly. I know we have quite a few. We've just started into the second contest, so maybe we just keep it to two comments so we can and move through the second.
I was thinking the exact same thing. And I want to welcome Poak Picasso, Frank, to the board. He's on the board listening in. So, hey, Frank, we haven't got to yours yet, but we will. Absolutely. And I don't know if Pee-wee is still on the board, but we're going to read his new one next. I'm going to give it a read. And this one is by Pee-wee Cusson, going to prompt number 33 for those following on, called Paint Me a Face. Paint a face in its place. I'm a disgrace. Want to leave, but I can't see. I can't even taste. You went away on that day, leaving me here. I must stay and made to pay each year by year. Someone please give me knees to leave this place. Want to see? Just want to be? Oh, I want my face. It's no fun. Give me a gun. Stop the pain. Let me run. See the sun. Make me a stain. But in the fall, painted the wall and left me still. Finished it all. Then took your fall. Painted with a pistol. End poem. I just want to read Pee-wee's line of notes, because he said, you guys have been kicking ass. You guys have been picking kick-ass artists. Thanks, Pee-wee. We appreciate that comment.
Thank you, Pee-wee.
Absolutely. Let's go to we'll go to Naomi first. Naomi.
Yeah, I'm just checking that prompt. Okay, 33. Oh, yeah, wow. Okay, yeah, I see it, you know, where all his inspiration came from. You can barely see the face there. It's, you know, it's like it's half hidden, and he's like really stuck in agony there. So, I just love finished it all, then took your fall, painted with a pistol. Paint it with a pistol. That's a great line there to finish off the poem. And paint a face in its place. I'm a disgrace. Want to leave, but I can't see. I can't even taste. Yeah, he really was inspired by that painting, and he really went for it in this. And I love the title, Paint Me a Face, because, you know, because of the prompt that he chose. So, yeah, great write throughout. Well done.
And a great job reading it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we will, if we skip anybody, it's because we're going to kind of move on. We want to make sure we get to a lot of them. So I'm going to actually go to you, Bobby, for this one. If you want to give a comment, that would be great.
PB is fairly new to us, but I've started following him already because he has a unique style. He's very terse. And the way he's very staccato. And it almost has a rap flavor to it, which I envy people. I cannot even approach that in any way, shape, form, or fashion with any kind of skill. So the way he's done this, you went away on that day, leaving me here, must stay, made to pay year by year. And his rhyming pattern is intricate. Like I said, it's staccato. It's almost colloquial in its approach. But boy, did he capture the agony and the anguish of that particular prompt. I agree with Naomi, a slamming title and a great piece of work.
Absolutely, and I always agree with Naomi no matter what, so that's all I think. Speaking of Naomi, since you are so nice to join, I'm going to put yours up, and I believe you have a SoundCloud for it.
Ooh.
So we will hang on for that.
Metamorphosis. I press both hands and forehead to the glass, touching the landscape. What I see gives balance to all my being. I'm huge against this outside, opposed to the thrust of my whole body. My hand alone hides three houses. I am enormous, enormous, monstrously enormous. All my being leaned to the outside, solidarized and strong. I'm changed. Everything is new. My look, my walk in the street, the way I speak to you. I don't sound like you want me to anymore. Though sometimes memories filter through my cracked inside. Fleeting spots of you, the familiar scent of your paint, visions of distorted shadows, and of fiery horses prancing, the cries of beggars, children's hiccups, roars of slow exhalations, raucous hurricanes, rages of fifth and drum, dragons galloping through the town with flaming glaucus, helmets. I shove my foot through the glass, stumble around splatters of bloodied love, mending my heart by pulling out its veins. I'm threading them one by one, gathering strength to tell you I'm no longer crumbling beneath your coats of color. Get lost. Get lost.
Awesome read, awesome read. And I love the dynamics of the music really fit perfectly with this read. So great job. Did you want to say anything about your poem at all? You're certainly welcome to if you want to.
Oh, I was just inspired by past experiences, and you know, just when I saw the painter, the paint and the body and the way the woman was crumbled there, I just thought of a past relationship, and you know, just put it all out there.
Excellent, amazing. That's the place to do it in poetry. Put it all out there. What about you, Sucker? What did you think?
I thought this was the best description of like a more colloquial experience that we all go through, like a type of it's like a hardening. You see all this pain, you see all this suffering, and you have to harden yourself to it. And I think this
excellent comment. And I just want to say Eric Svensson joined on the board. Said, brilliant recording, Naomi. I'm all goosebumps listening in. All a shivering you have me here in the early Sunday morning hours down south. So you affected Eric very well. What did you think, Bobby?
That was brilliant, SoundCloud. A really well-crafted, and your reading is so emotive. There is such an intensity of feeling in this. And as I had to keep glancing back to the prompt as I was listening to your reading, and I was thinking, you know, I could see the threads of it coming through from the prompt, and I thought your interpretation of it was just bloody brilliant. I was absolutely inspired. So thank you for contributing this. I loved it.
Thank you, Bobby.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Great job. We're going to continue on here. Sucker, I'm going to ask if you could read this one called Haunted by Kenny W. And I just posted it on the board. Also, Sucker, if you don't mind, if you could check your microphone, you're coming across a little muddy. I can hear you, but I don't know if it's just the way the microphone is.
Is it better now?
Yeah, that's much better. Thank you very much.
Let me pull up the posting. What's the poem called?
It's called Haunted. Yep. I just posted it on the board. I can do it again if you don't see it.
I've got it. Haunted by Kenny W. Go to sleep, my little ones. See no evil in your dreams. My paint palette seen such horrors. You're still so clean and unblemished. An all-night sitting push you to your limits, demanding you look so sullen as in your father's imagination. Breaking early dawn light streams through the window. My innocent angels, exhausted you float in my oil. The paintbrush lies. I'm alone in the studio. It's my thoughts. And despair.
Excellent read, Sucker. I really appreciate it. Bobby, let's start with you.
That last stanza, what a plot twist. He's speaking, and I like the way he's interpreted this prompt. Go to sleep, my little ones, no evil dreams. My paint palette has seen such horrors, yours still so clean and unblemished, which taken from the prompt, you can see that the palette that the one child is grasping is completely unused. It's brand new. And it's breaking early dawn, streams through the windows. My innocent angels exhausted. You float in my oils. The paintbrush lies. I am alone in the studio with my thoughts in despair. So here is this whole conversation he's had with these children that have been posing for the peace is all a fabrication, and it's all out of his loneliness. What a stunning ending.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, and if all this wasn't enough, wasn't such a great show, we have Lou Yu on the line, I believe.
Hey,
hi,
Lou Yu, Dr.
World.
Naomi, Daniel, Bessels, to everyone.
Hey, Lou, so glad you're here.
Thank you. I got here.
Absolutely.
Did you want me to comment next, Daniel?
Yeah, if you want to comment, that would be great.
You know, I really loved Bobby's comments on this poem. For me, it just reminds me of a parent or a father. And somewhere in art, whether it's in a paintbrush or in music or in poetry, we recollect memories of those we love, whether it's a child or a parent or a dear friend that's like family. And you know, that actual look of a child or the person you love sleeping, where you look at them and you look at all the details and how the light catches the tint of their skin, and, you know, and in that peace, even though we've gone through hell and had a hard life, when you see that loved one sleeping, there is a peace that just comes over you. You know, and he says here, an all-night sitting pushed you to your limits, demanding you look so sullen as in your father's imagination. You know, how he sees the impression on their face. And, you know, I'm not going to comment anymore because I could have to restrain myself. So somebody else can comment. So back to you, Daniel.
Okay, great. Thank you, Lou, very much. Fantastic comment. And just so you know, we're a little bit behind tonight, so if we skip you on a comment, that's why we're kind of just skipping around a little bit so we can make sure we get to a good amount of poems. We got carried away in the beginning and got a little behind. Great comment. And I'm going to now put the next one up here. I'm going to copy it. And we had W.P. McLeod before from the old one, but we got him back on the new one as well. And actually, we might have one more person on the call with us today. Is there anybody else here right now?
Hello. I don't know if you can hear me.
Hi, Frank.
Hey, Frank.
You recognize my voice here. Yeah.
We got a party going on now, let me tell you.
Yeah, I appreciate the invitation, as always.
Absolutely. Okay. All right, Frank, and your punishment for coming on so late is you get to read this next one here by W.P. McLeod called About a Girl. So if you don't mind,
all right.
That would be great.
Refresh here. Do you have it up? I have to refresh. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just posted it. It's a couple of comments behind, but it should be on there.
Right, is this the one by? Okay, bear with me here, my phone's a bit slow. All right, this is a poem here, it's called, I don't know how to pronounce the name of the person, W.P.M. McCraveld, though. So I'm assuming that's how you pronounce it. It's called About a Girl, and it goes like this. Bent over backward in an arc, her body half covered by a sheet below her hips. The painter stripped white pigment on her belly of a soft, broad, cabal hairbrush. If it tickled, she didn't say, contorted as she was in an ancient paradox of ribcage, and flesh stretching her arms and legs, and a covered wagon wheel without spokes. A crowd of ghosts of old-fashioned shoes and hairdos stared out at the painting, wearing grim expressions as if they knew were born a century too soon. An invisible team of horses outside a canvas bore the wagon to the painting's edge. The carpenters hammered a walnut frame as a fence to keep the girl in the pictures contained. But she could row inside. She rode inside out on the parquet floor in circles and figure eight patterns confounding, the otter's hands sweeping to keep her in place, as the wind blew the sheet from her naked waist, and a coven of surly women in their floor length, sublimity opening their mouths in dark oaths as they marched after the roving girl, speeding to be free of the painter and his controlling great aunts. De Pomme.
Excellent read, Frank. And there's some proof, ladies and gentlemen, that Frank's audios are always great, but he can do live readings just as good. So awesome. Awesome read, Frank. Appreciate it.
No, true.
I'm an actor here, you know.
You certainly are, and there's the proof right there. Naomi, let's go with you.
When I'm up on the stage there, Daniel, if I do Shakespeare, I'll invite you on the stage when I get up on the stage.
Absolutely, don't expect any miracles. I'll stand there. I'll play the tree. How's that?
There you go.
Excellent. Naomi, let's go with you.
Yeah. Well, I thought this was a great interpretation of that painting. So well described. Bent over backward in an arc, her body half covered by a sheet. He even describes the white pigment on her belly with a soft, broad camel hair brush. He brings in a kind of modernism into it, humor. If it tickled, she didn't say contorted. And then in the end, he brings in like a kind of story and the coven of surly women in their floor length. They marched after the revolving girl speeding to be free of the painter and his controlling great aunt. Amazing creativity shown here throughout this piece. Amazing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's prompt number 14, which is a woman kind of laying back, mm-hmm. almost like on an exercise ball you would picture, but it's she's kind of laid over the palette, which is very interesting. Sucker, let's go with you.
Can you flavor me with the prompt?
Yeah, it's prompt number 14. Do you want me to come back to you?
I'm not on the website. I'm wondering what the prompt is like.
Sure, it's just a picture of a woman kind of laying back with her arms down and kind of over the palette, like bending her back over. So it's very, very interesting.
Over the palette? Bending her back over?
Over the palette. Yeah, over like palette, a palette, yeah. Yep.
Like a
palette that you would paint on, that a wooden palette that you would like paint on, palette with the painting. So, if you want, I can come back to you for the comment.
I don't want to come back to the comment before.
Okay.
So, what is she doing over the palette? What is her purpose being like spread over it?
I'm not sure. It's open to the interpretation of the person, listening to it. She's just kind of spread over. I do like to kind of move on, though, if we want to continue with the comments. So if you want to comment on it, you can. Otherwise, let's move on. And then we'll go on. So do you have any comments on the poem?
I'd like to remind also, Sucker, that at the bottom of each piece is a space for written comment. So if something comes to you later that you want to contribute to one of these pieces, please go back and pen that in, because the authors certainly do appreciate hearing from you.
Absolutely. All right, if you don't have any other comments on there, yeah, we can move on. You got to read it. Fantastic. Frank, what'd you think?
Yes, I was able to see the prop myself. I was fortunate to see it. I thought the imagery was very vivid. It's and it just magnified me just with, after looking at the prompt, just how powerful, you know, imagery can be, how inspiring it can be. You know, it's a very, the overtures here are very dark, but I also like the nature of the poem, the essence of the poem, and how dramatic it is. You know, it was just a fantastic piece. It just really was mind-blowing at times.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Yeah. It was great.
I think we have another
All
guest.
Right. Oh, we do.
We have another guest. 909.
Oh, fantastic.
All right, we have to bring out more chairs. You want to see who we've got waiting out there?
Someone else joins it.
If it's a ghost.
Yeah, yeah. 909? Joined us?
All right, I'm not sure if they joined. Hey, is that you, Sucker, again?
Yeah,
sorry. He dropped.
Did I get back? Cal? I was
right.
Trying to ask him.
You might have, you might have dropped. You might have dropped, but thanks for coming back. I appreciate it. All right, let's, I'm glad you're back with us. All right, let's move on here. William, you did not get to read yet, so I'm going to post this on the board here. One moment. And if you can read this by Gerald Green. Gerald, I'm sorry, you sent the SoundCloud. We could not get it to work, so instead, you're going to get the lovely and talented Liu to read your poem for you. So, you can go ahead.
Yay. Yeah. I'm so honored. And this is titled Nude Model by Gerald E. Green. The day was gray, a fitting gray, where nothing seemed alive, and none could tell the time of day by looking at the sky. There was no breakfast, no hot drink, just cool air and a colder floor with yesterday's clothing lying on the wooden chair. She walked to her appointment, relieved it was at night as each city block reflected more decay. The small rusted studio sign besides the thick steel door indicated her destination had been reached. After climbing to the fourth floor, she paused to reconsider what she was about to do, what had to be done. The small, cold room with unfinished paintings stacked like dominoes against the walls increased her desire to leave. But hunger made her stay, sitting on the wooden stool, wrapped in a dark blue sheet, waiting for what she dreaded most in the poem.
Awesome read. Great job. Let's go with you, Frank.
Well, first of all, that was a fantastic read. This whole poem just really conjured in me just the striking imagery of actually imagining that person there, the model there. I used to do modeling back in my days. It's just chilling to me to think that one has to sacrifice to achieve something, not only achieve something, but get a morsel of bread at times. It is really powerful poem, and I was really taken aback by the piece here. It's a remarkable perception on the poem and interpretation of what struggles and the nude models unfortunately go, whether it's a man or a female. Fortunately, at times it tends to be the tendency of a woman, but it's just a fantastic personification of that plight.
Yeah, I agree. Another great poem that really got into the emotion and the character of the picture. So I think it's great. Lou, you got to read it and did a fantastic job.
Thank you.
What do you think?
Did you want? Oh, you know, I thought that this was very personal. You know, sometimes you're forced to do things that you don't want to do, to eat, to feed your family, and just to be put in a position where you think you can do this. So you're walking there, but once you get there and you start going through the city and you see the decay, and then you tell yourself, oh, I need to do this. And, you know, just you realize as you everything becomes more apparent and more painful and more fear as you open that heavy steel door, and then you look around the room and realize, am I the only person that's being forced to do this since there's so many unfinished stacked dominoes? And I thought he caught this very clearly, very emotive, very dark, because you can look at her. She's got the sheet tied around her, and she's holding it shut over her breast. She's got her hands over her waist closed in, and her knees are just together, just trying to protect the innocent until you're exposed. Amazing poem.
Absolutely.
Great,
I agree. And let's get one more comment. We'll go with Naomi.
Yeah, I think he really, you know, centered into the face of the model, you know. And, you know, like I think, you know, the Luya's said it all, you know. She's just there to make a penny, you know, to get through. It just shows in her face and her expression how, you know, she's uncomfortable, how she's, you know, she's just sitting there just waiting, you know. And like Gerald said, she's waiting for what she dreaded most. So excellent, excellent write and interpretation of the art by Gerald E. Green here. Just amazing, amazing, stunning write.
Absolutely. Great comments, everyone. All right, we are all in for a great treat, as always, with Weaver of Dreams, because she has a SoundCloud, and her poem is called Canvas. So let's all sit back and enjoy.
Is it
I wait, primed, pristine, for the artist's inspired touch. It begins as vibrant colors are picked to build a fantasy of twisted limbs and haunting faces. Will today bring long language strokes? Will soft whistles fan out to disperse the awls in undulating loops and swirls? Perhaps a pure red sable brush might appear to blend and soften my edges. Or will there be brisk, impatient jabs from a stubbier one, thus allowing an impression to be left on pools of acrylic paint? Suddenly a palette knife slices the air. Another texture is added to my surface. This cold, sharp metal, when wielded by a sure hand, will point the way towards a more eclectic vision. Therefore, a light touch is needed, showing great expertise. Artists have at their command these various implements to transcribe an ideal, which can then transport you to a world of their making, to soothe or stimulate. So, squint your eyes, tilt your head, take a soft, deep breath, and see.
Awesome read as always, Weaver. And Bobby, you are the captain, so you get to go.
Well, first off, I'm very glad that Weaver contributed this, so thank you, Weaver. I also could listen to her read the phone book and be happy. So, you know, and it comes, but then she says, what accent? You have an accent. I don't have an accent. But this is beautiful interpretation. This is a similar work to the previous one. This is another model who has is clad in two colors. She's got the shoulder off the shoulder, but she's covered by her hair, and she is gazing upward and almost contemplatively and almost like in prayer. I like the way she says, perhaps a pure red sable brush might appear to blend and soften my edges. And then a palette knife slices the air. Another texture is added to my surface. And she's personified the artwork, which I think is really always an interesting way to approach an art prompt, because you get to lend your thoughts to what you think is going on with the artwork. So I really enjoyed this.
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's so creative and clever, the idea of writing about art from the point of view of the canvas. And, you know, I just love Kate's interpretation every time, you know, she attacks a prompt here. And this was, you know, actually one I've read before. And I just thought it was just a masterful stroke of the pen here by Weaver. And, you know, just bravo. I just love, you know. So squint your eyes, tilt your head, take a soft, deep breath and see. Because, you know, art is just, you know, you just have to breathe it in and you just have to live it, you know. It inspires so many people, and so many people interpret it in different ways. So I just thought she captured the feeling and the you know, all the emotions, both from the artist and, you know, the canvas, the art itself here. So just an amazing, amazing ride here by Gate. Bravo.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Get one more, Sucker. Did you want to make a comment? Sucker, are you there?
No. Yeah, but no further comment.
All right, that's okay, no problem. Frank, we can go with you.
Yes, I thought this was a very artistic piece here. I like the imagery throughout the poem. I like the adaptation there of just being able to, you know, through painting what is an artwork in itself, being able to be inspired by that and using the metaphors of painting to be much more vivid. And this is what makes painting, you know, although at times we think of it as abstract, you know, if you really are conscious enough and really just delve into the painting itself, you find many things. And perhaps many things that others see differently. And that's the beauty of art, that sometimes we don't see the same thing. But we all come to admire painting in art. And this is no exception. I thought it was an exceptional poem.
Absolutely. Great comment. Great comment. All right, we're going to continue on here. And I'm going to now dub this the Frank Show, because we are going to have a nice SoundCloud from Frank coming on here. This is your poem. We're going to continue. Always a treat. So, yeah, we go. I posted his poem on the board. If we want to play that, that's our last SoundCloud of the evening. That would be great.
Pintura,
Awesome job, Frank. The music was fantastic. I loved it. And I always love when you mix languages like that, too. So it sounded great. All right, let's start the comments with Lou.
Oh, my goodness. He made the wet paint even wetter. My goodness. This is so deeply sensual. You took the images of painting and made it so sensual, and so just the arousal was just there. You talk about being wrapped in the palette, like this, and for the touch of my fingers sliding down your dress as I dip the tinted shade upon your exquisite volupte. You know, it's just this is just drenching in imagery, and I thought this was a beautiful picture that you pinned to with this woman sitting in between the painter, and you could just see the paint on his body, and I can imagine him painting her, and then, oh, my gosh, and then you close it with such beautiful language. Tu cuerpo es mi pintura para gozar con mi lengua. Soy tu Picasso y pintor que es desnuda con una sexy mirada. And you I could just see that woman just draped in between your legs, just listening to you and, you know, seeing what you have painted, what you saw in me. I just thought that was just gorgeous.
I appreciate that. And it was a very provocative prompt there, so I didn't need much influence there.
absolutely. As a completely heterosexual man, Frank, that was pretty damn hot. Yeah, I gotta say.
Oh, there you go. You're not the first man who has said that before. I've had several compliments from men.
I'm sure, Frank. Anything else you wanted to say about your poem as well?
Well, basically, I want to say that when I got the prompts there, this was one of the prompts that I said. I didn't know if I was going to go with a dark prompt or go with this. And then I saw that prompt. I said, you know, I love painting. I'm an artist as well. And this was something that just commanded my attention with that provocative, if I would say, prompt there. But it was a fantastic choice. I have to say really quick, you and Bobby did a great job with the prompts. And I have to applaud, give you, with the word prompts here for getting these prompts here. They're very inspiring. And this one itself, although it was self-explanatory, it did give me that, you know, voyeurism, I guess, to be able to, which I don't have much difficulty getting into these type of poems, but it was very inspiring.
Excellent.
I'm just being real. I'm
sorry. Nah, beautiful, Frank. You know, absolutely, Frank. Beautiful.
I have to confess. Frank, you did not go with the prompt that I thought you would.
Okay. Oh. Which one are you going to choose? Which one is the one?
I want to go, Bobby, so I can go look at it.
What prompt did you want to titillate Crunchy? 17. Yeah, 17. I thought sure
right.
You would go with 17.
Okay.
I'll look at that.
17, okay. Looking up 17. I'm going to also go with Naomi for comments. Yeah. I'm sure Bobby would like to comment.
But I love what this is interesting because this the previous write we had to this particular prompt was the new Pietà. And here we had with spiritual and religious influences, and here we have something that. And by the way, Frank, how long have you been waiting to use the word is celebrous? You're just showing off now, aren't you?
Well, I'm also, when I'm not acting, I'm also doing a lot of work as a linguist, so I'm doing demos now. Demos has taken my time. I'm doing demos, so
you
can imagine.
I thought you joined my demos.
it's just one of these things. You know, you have to expand your vocabulary. You know, it's always good to expand your vocabulary. Now I see the problem.
We will knight you a sesquipedalian supreme. How's that?
Oh, there you go. All right.
Absolutely.
I don't want to interrupt anymore. Go ahead, Daniel.
It's a beautiful piece. I like where you can go a whole night.
We can go a whole night with all of this conversation here, but I don't want to interrupt.
I know.
We're
not alone now.
All right.
Absolutely. I do want to end with Naomi though. I want to give her time to comment as well too.
I saw that. Are we Wednesday? this name transported me to Wednesday night. I thought that you took that prompt and you made it, you know, your own completely, Frank. And you know, you just. You know, any painter or any artist can just dream of being enraptured by their muse as they are, you know, so completely the way you show it in this poem. So, you know, just so well done. You know, smoking hot.
One quick thing. Wednesday night, I've got one for you for Wednesday, and it's called the Macarena. So be waiting for that.
Excellent. All right. I am forgotten in the corner now with Frank. He took over
no,
part of the show here.
Never.
I'm no more. We'll go back. All right. Yeah. Let me reel us back in here a little bit. But excellent job, Frank. Always.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. All right. Let's continue on. I think Sucker dropped. So thanks for calling in, Sucker. And I'm going to get Naomi to read this one here. This is by Keith Palethorpe. And I just posted it. If you want to read that would be great.
It is turtle all the way down. Still life with fruit balanced on a pallet. That looks like a stringed instrument, itself balanced on the back of a person who could be an albino turtle sporting the entire world on his back. What? You will, might ask, sports the turtle. It is turtle all the way down. End poem.
Awesome read. Great brevity, Keith. Let's start with Liu.
You know, I looked at the photograph right now, and, you know, sometimes in life we feel like we don't deserve the sweets that are out there, that the life that we painted is so heavy and dark, and, you know, that's what I really liked here, where the poet wrote, supporting the entire world on his back. And, you know, sometimes we don't get support that we need, but at times, sometimes we hurt our own selves. And I really enjoyed this poem very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Naomi, you did a great job reading it. What did you think of it?
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at prompt 9 right now, and, you know, I can see the where he's going. But I also read in one of the comments that Keith made, that the poet wrote himself, and he says it is a variation of an old joke about a person who has no concept of the immensity of our universe. So, you know, that that shines new light on the whole poem, I think. So, you know, just excellent, you know, excellent work here. You know, a brilliant creative mind here by Keith Palethorpe. Excellent to write all the way through.
But another example here, mythology being called into the verse, because you've got the world or the cosmic turtle, the world-bearing turtle, which is a mytheme that you see in Hindu mythology and Chinese. And I think some of the Americas, some of the indigenous people of the Americas, use that mytheme that the universe is born on the back, the world is born on the back of a giant turtle. So I think that's a great calling in of mythology on this too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think turtle is longevity in, I think, in Hawaiian myths and possibly in some Americas as well too. So, yeah. That's a really good call up, Bobby. Thank you, Frank. What do you think?
You know, for such a great poem that really spoke up to me. You know, this whole notion of what, you know, and listening to the comments there. You know, we think at times that we are the center of the universe. You know, we think the universal laws, anthropomorphic type of a concept that we bear, but we don't realize that the animals themselves, you know, unwittingly at times, you know, are there. You know, not just participants, they're there as well, equally existential as we are. Sometimes we forget that we live in our own little world, and we don't realize that sometimes we are being more than less intrusive in our part of developing the world. This really made me introspective in that page. I thought it was very, very, it had a deep philosophy as well.
Frank, don't even get me started about that. I gotta tell you, I'll be talk all night about equality between animals and humans. So
there you go. I mean, we can talk about
that. Don't even get me started.
I'm a reverential believer in philosophy, so we could get onto that all night as well. We can talk about the disparities between that as well.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. What would you want to say, Bobby?
I was going to say, to touch on Frank's segue into philosophy, the turtle also has reference in philosophy. If you look at the epistemology of the regress argument, you will see that, and here's the phrase that he uses in the poem, the infinite regress in philosophy often uses the expression turtles all the way down to indicate an explanatory failure based on an explanation that needs a potentially infinite series of additional explanations. So it's almost like an infinite do loop if you're familiar with programming.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I did not know that. And Pee Wee Cussin said turtles all the way down. Also, excellent song by Sturgill Simpson. So,
thanks, Pee Wee. Explanation for a failure. That's fascinating. Great.
Absolutely,
insight.
Absolutely. Excellent, I didn't know that. All right, cool. We're going to crank on here. We've got another one by EJ Cool, and I would love it if, Lou, if you could read that. It's just posted it.
Thank you. It'd be my honor. And this is titled The Cage of My Chest by EJ Cool. The cage of my chest could never keep pastel-feathered songbirds with citric melodies of love, meant to soar and glide above the silver linings of storm clouds and rainier cherry iridescent sunsets. The cage of my chest became a boneyard where the dead don't rest and life's breath heresy pirouette through the wrought iron bars and monolithic windows, distorted stained glass, cracked and caked with the filth of decades and bone.
Excellent read. Yeah, yeah, and I always appreciate E.J. What a fantastic poet. We'll start with you, Frank.
Yeah, can you move on to skip me for 1 moment because I'm having issues with the phone and I'm not able to. I wasn't able to get access to the poem, so.
Yeah, no worries. I'll come back.
I appreciate that.
No worries at all, Bobby. What'd you think?
Oh, I like EJ's writing. She's a very she's a very skilled writer. She knows how to apply language like an artist applies color, and she does such a beautiful job. With citric melodies of love meant to soar and glide above the silver linings of storm clouds and rainier cherries, iridescent sunsets. I mean, that is so fraught with color that you can't help but envision it. But I love her opening. The cage of my chest could never keep pastel feathered songbirds. It continues on with the rest of the stanza. The cage of my chest became a boneyard where the dead don't rest and life breath perilously pirouettes through wrought iron bars. Her writing is dark, but it is just, it's not macabre. It is just, it has shades of gray to it that make it very intriguing. And she does flip things on its dark side, and she squints at them and helps us to squint at them along with her. So I really enjoy this piece and where she went with the prompt. Oh, prompts, I should say. Next. She took two.
Yeah, excellent comment, and I think it's a great way to describe her is, paints her words like an artist does colors. It's a great way to describe her.
Do you want me
Naomi?
To comment now?
Oh, sure, yeah, Frank, yeah, if you're ready, go for it.
Really quick. I know we're running out of time as well. I have to agree with what just been said by Bobby. I like her very, and she has dark imagery in her poetry, and I like the fact you pointed out that it's not macabre. You know, I do a lot of macabre there, but I do it on purpose. Her type of poetry is very deep, very deep. You get on beyond the imagery of the darkness in the poem. You know, it's a bit tenebrate at times, but it has a message to it. There's a moral, that's the word. And this poem is, although it's dark, it has a moral to it. And this is a type of poetry that you have to really think, be pensive, you know, because it can be reflected in much more on interpretation, you know, but I thought it was a fantastic. And I do agree, she has wonderful type of poetry. It's usually dark, but it still has I gravitate to the moral of the poem for the most part when I read it.
Her work is very cerebral.
Yeah, surreal, that's the word I was looking for, surreal.
Surreal and cerebral.
Yeah, agree.
Absolutely. Thank you. Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I just admire so much E.J. Kuhl. You know, she's such a talented writer. You know, one of the best ones. You know, the cage of my chest could never keep pastel-feathered songbirds with citric melodies of love meant to soar. You know, just from the opening line, she just captivates you and pulls you in. And, you know, another great poet that has such a masterfulness of the English language and can use it in amazing imagery throughout and amazing metaphors. And like Frank said, you know, there's a deepness to her every write that she has. So, yeah, I just admire her writing every time. This is no exception. Just an amazing, stunning, stunning write here.
Absolutely. I'm definitely an EJ fan. All right, I think we've got time for one more that we could all comment on without rushing anything. So let's get that in here. I'd love to end on somebody new to the program, which is Keith M. Drew. I don't think we've ever had him on before. And I'm going to post that. If you want to give that a read, I'll give that to you, Captain, if you want to give that a read, and then we'll get a bunch of comments.
Pick me. Okay. Oh. Yeah,
you
I
have
think
a mic
he is
now.
New to us. Upon the Palette of Prayer by Keith M. Drew. The walls are scratched with the cruelty of condemnation, scribed within days and months and years as time confines all thoughts of freedom. Dreams are the only release. The stench permeates within my cell of grief, arched my body pains for sustenance to escape these chains of misjustice. I swathe the air with the brush of my emotion. All of the portraits I hang upon the walls of my heart, hope is mixed with all of the colors of dormancy, squandered upon the palette of prayer. End poem.
Excellent read, Bobby. Wow. Beautiful, right, Keith? Yeah, that was very powerful. Let's start with Lou. Lou, you. Love to hear your thoughts. Lou, you mutating?
Oh, she could be on pause there. Or did she drop?
Oh. Frank, step in quickly.
I don't know if she's there. Go ahead, Frank. Yeah. You can go for it.
This poem just brought me back to the days when I first read Gothic poetry, which is one of my favorite type of dark poetry. You know, the old mythology of ghosts, of reverence, just brought this to the forefront for me. I thought it was a fantastic ride. It had all the Gothic elements for me. You know, although it's not that long, it just brought me back to a bit of the old early 1800s, you know, of that type of ghost writing, you know. I mean, actually, poetry of in short stories that was based on reverence and that, and just had that feeling there. A bit of Shelley as well, in particular.
And has the flavorings of Poe.
Absolutely.
Overtones and flavors. And for brevity, this is intense and great storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Very economical, right, and very very intense and powerful. So, and I've just
absolutely
started following this great piece.
And Luyu, are you back?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can.
Yeah.
We thought he was.
Yeah. Thank you. Fantastic read, Bobby. I love this poem by Keith. It is very powerful, very dark, very emotional. I thought that he captured the silence, the holding back, the speaking out and not being heard. And, you know, it's just like something, the situations are covering his expression. And, you know, when you can't express yourself, and sometimes, especially where he had that opening line, the walls are scratched with the cruelty of condemnation. And I thought that he just pulled the darkness and the pain with this poem that sometimes we feel as if we're going through. Excellent poem.
And it matches, it echoes, it mirrors the intensity of the prompt.
Exactly.
Yeah, great. So we do have three carryovers now. We're going to have Truth Chills, Saragossa, and Mike London. So sorry, we'll get you next week. But before I give it to Bobby to talk about the next contest, I do want to end with a comment from Naomi. Naomi, if you want to comment on this, and then we'll pass it over to Bobby.
Yeah, well, I think Lou, really, really summed it up. This piece is really powerful, and you know, it captures the whole atmosphere. You know the atmosphere of that paint, that art is dark, like Frank said, it's like kind of as a Gothic in its style, Gothic parts to it, and you know, just an amazing, very powerful, you know, and a mode of peace, and, you know, just powerful in its writing. So great, great write, and welcome Keith M. Drew to our shows. Yeah, great to see a new writer. So amazing.
Absolutely. Bobby, why don't you take us home? Tell us about what's going on next.
Well, I just posted it the other day, and I agonized over this one because when I started, it's the dreamlike digital images of Katrin Weltstein, and she is German, of course. I started harvesting. This is my process. I'll pick an artist. I'll start harvesting their work and filing it in files. I'm very organized when it comes to creating the content. And I just kept finding and finding and finding. It was like the never, like the, you know, this was like the bottomless beer stuff. I found so much of her work that I ended up having to, the only way I could decide which prompts to use were to divide them by color palette. And seriously, and I've got like five or six folders with pinks and greens and blues and yellows and what have you. So I went with more of a neutral palette on these. But she what she does is she gets her inspiration from fantasy and from fairy tales and her children's books, which I thought was wonderful. And they're very her work has a very dreamlike quality to it, and it speaks to inner feelings, especially children's stories and medieval and folklore and what have you. But what she does is she collects old images, vintage images, and illustrations, and she blends them together in Photoshop, and the result is what you see posted. And she's I actually did something I rarely do. Is I went through and played musical chairs with some of the prompts because I would find one I'd like better, and I go, oh, that one's better. So I, you know, fortunately, it was just as the contest was getting started. But I tried to keep these in sort of a neutral palette. But she's got some wonderful imagery in here. She's got a great sense of humor in some of her pieces and a very wonderful sense of fantasy. So I think you'll find a lot to speak to in these. At least I hope you will. And I hope you enjoy them as much as I do, because you're going to see them again in February. So I'm going to take the red palette and drop that out for Valentine's Day. So you will see this artist again, so I really hope you like her. If you don't like her, tell me, and you'll never see her again. But anyway, it's out there now. We've got one posting, and I want to thank everyone who called in. We had a hell of a party tonight. So thank you all very much for your thoughts and your participation.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great night.
Awesome.
De nada.
Thank you.
Hasta luego.
Good night, everybody.